We all have a story to tell. Let's tell yours. Welcome to the Intellectual People Podcast with your host, Jason. Come together and listen to journey stories and more from interesting people. Welcome your host, Jason.
Welcome to the Intellectual People Podcast. Today, I have Julie. Julie, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm in Greece, so not bad at all.
Wow. What are you there for?
You know, not really for anything in particular, although I have some friends here. We're celebrating our other friend's birthday, but I travel. So, you know, I don't really have... Traveling is my reason, I suppose.
Okay. What is your website?
My website is juliedevive.com. It's a play on words, the joie de vivre, which is a French term for the joy of living. And my name is Julie, so it seemed clever. That's my website.
Cool. You mentioned you were in Greece to travel. Is that mm-hmm. what you do full time?
Yes. I'm a full-time nomad, solo traveler, outdoors woman. I've been nomadic for 2 years. I just celebrated my 2-year nomadiversary. So this is my lifestyle. I'm not one of those, like, let me go on 2 vacations a year people. I'm every week more or less, I'm in a new location, new destination, and, you know, exploring everything around me.
Did you work at one time?
Yes, I used to work. I worked for 14 years in corporate America, basically. And last December, I quit/retired/ took a career break that may never end. Who knows? And I'm sort of doing my own thing now, traveling, writing, working on my blog, and mentoring other folks who are interested in pursuing a nomadic lifestyle, too.
Very cool. Let's go back, Julie, if you don't mind. Let's go back to your earlier days of high school and college, right?
Okay.
Did you always dream of traveling full time?
Not really. I think what I always dreamed of was being an author, was writing. I started in journalism. That was my career, and it transitioned into marketing. And I've always been a storyteller. And I think that's really my true calling. And I think as I explore the world, I find stories to tell. And I did some traveling in my youth, but I really sort of picked up in my 20s and in my 30s. And I had got the bug, I would probably say about 5 years ago. I did a whirlwind European summer trip for a month. Went to 10 countries and was living out of my backpack and really sort of adopted this whole different way of living with just the clothes and the things in my backpack and, you know, being super mobile and on the run all the time. That planted the seed, you know, that this lifestyle was attainable. And I enjoyed it and it was fulfilling. And so I think ever since that trip, I started masterminding how to make that permanent, make that feeling permanent, the feeling that I had, just always curiosity, discovery. And now I'm here. It took a few years, but I made it happen.
What did you do full time?
I was social media marketing, lots of different things, actually. It wasn't really content creation, although I did that earlier in my career, and obviously I do it now for my own channels, but more like analytics, policy, strategy, reporting, coaching our staff members. So it was kind of all over the place. But touching social media, which really is something I really enjoy.
Do you find that experience helpful now?
Of course. I think, well, definitely for my own channels and storytelling and the video training that I had when I was in broadcast television and live streaming and being able to talk on camera. These are all things that I learned back when I was pursuing a career in broadcast television. I spent about 6 years in 2 TV newsrooms. And, you know, at the time I thought, oh, well, if I leave news, I'll never use these skills. Well, we all know that that's not true, or that's not how the cookie crumbled. So it's helped me immensely. And I really am happy to have had all the experience that I had, because it does serve me as I speak to you or speak on my YouTube channel and everything else that I do to talk to my fans and followers.
Okay. So let's unpack this. So you're working full time, mm-hmm. and you have this thought of being a nomad, right? Mm-hmm. How do you make that happen? Tell us that process of how you made it happen and the process that you went through emotionally to make it happen.
Yeah. So it was 2 years ago that I went nomadic, and this was, I think, around July. It was July 2020 or June 2020. I sort of woke up and was like, okay, if I'm stuck at home for the pandemic, I'm working from home, I'm not doing business travel anymore. I can't go anywhere and do anything because lockdowns, and I can't even go to the gym, and it's 110 degrees in Arizona where I used to live. What am I doing here? If I can work anywhere, I can be anywhere. What's keeping me here in Phoenix? And it, you know, was a logical, oh, my house and everything I own. And, you know, I think maybe it wasn't really an epiphany, but I just felt like, okay, all this stuff is keeping me here. It's keeping me, not only the things, the physical presence of the things, but the kind of emotional link. And the fact that when I would go travel and I would go on extended trips, and I was always like, oh, well, you know, I got to go back to the house, and oh, I got to pay those bills. And oh, you know, what if a tree falls on my house, which actually that did happen one time during a summer trip. So, you know, you're mentally, you have, then, you know, that mental ball and chain, right?
Yep.
And physical ball and chain. So I just thought it has to go, which meant, okay, how do we make that happen? Well, you know, methodically, you put your house on the market, you get the photographs, you have the realtor, you have all of that, you know, sorted out. And then once the house was sold, it was like, okay, now I got to get rid of everything in it. And that was sort of a process of, okay, what can I sell or consign? Let me have a garage sale. What can I sell on Facebook Marketplace? You know, invite my friends over to go through my closet and take whatever they wanted. And then donating pretty much everything left over. So between when my house sold, which was this pretty much the same within the same 24 hours it was listed, then let me go through this checklist and use the closing time to liquidate everything, basically everything that I own besides a few things that I put, the things that I put in my car and a few things that I put in a small storage unit. And then me and my dog, we hit the road and launched our journey.
Have you ever looked back as you have any regret?
No, I don't have any regret. I think, you know, there's kind of the like, ah, shucks, I would have made more money if I waited a little while to sell my house. You know, I think there's a little bit of that because of the way the housing market has gone absolutely insane over the past few years. Yep. So there's a little bit like, you know, but you're not a mind reader, you know, or you're not a fortune teller. So nobody knew what was going to happen then. And I made the best decision I had with the information I had at the time in regards to that piece. But otherwise, the actual act of what I did, no regrets. And really, you know, I think this started as an experiment. I thought I'll try nomad life for a year. And maybe during that year, I'll decide, oh, I really want to move to Nashville, or I really want to live in this state or this city. And then I just kind of got a little bit addicted to it. And once I kind of like, oh, I hit my 50th state, and I'm like, oh, now I want to, what can I take on? What can I conquer next? You know, where can I go next? And I did 6 months in Mexico. Now I'm in Europe, bopping around. And I really can't fathom stable living, but you never say never.
What is it about the traveling that you are addicted to use your word?
Well, I think it's what everybody likes about traveling, right? It's the opportunity to see beautiful things, new things, to learn, to be curious, to meet people of other cultures and nationalities and different perspectives and exchange ideas. And I think that's a big part of it. And I think that's why a lot of people like traveling. And I think the other part of it, and maybe more or less other people feel the same way, I don't really know. But for me, it's the challenge, because I feel like kind of like I'm, I don't know, maybe becoming younger or smarter, or like more of my brain, what do you call it? Like my neurons are firing as I'm trying to figure out how to get from one place to the other, and budgeting and currency calculation and all of the things that really like keep me on my toes and keep my mind sharp, which, you know, there are challenges and obstacles and problems, and you run into trouble and you run into annoyances. But every time I figure out something, every time I achieve something, or work out a problem, I just feel a sense of accomplishment and some, you know, growth that really is a fulfilling feeling. And I think compare that to back, you know, when I lived in Phoenix, I was pretty complacent. I was kind of going through the motions and the routines, and I never really was creative, or, you know, I never had really problems presented because I just went through the same motions every day, and I drove the same way to work and the same way to the grocery store, and I got gas the same place, and everything was just very kind of routine. And now I'm just spending all this time discovering and learning and fixing and thinking, you know, always one step ahead. And I think that's really cool and unique to sort of that full-time travel life.
Such a great message, Julie. There's an old saying of being uncomfortable is good, and putting yourself in uncomfortable situations is a good thing personally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that. And I wouldn't be the person that I am today without all of those moments. And I think back to when I was a kid, I was very shy. You know, I chose a career in journalism, which put somebody in the spotlight, right?
Right.
And now I'm doing what I'm doing now, where I'm basically bearing all my thoughts and vulnerabilities to about travel, about dating, about everything that I'm experiencing. And it's very much, you know, you're in the spotlight. I didn't like to be on stage. I didn't like anybody looking at me. I didn't like any of that. But I think because I pushed myself and I challenged myself and I kind of forced myself to stop worrying about what other people thought of me and take those challenges in stride, it's made me, you know, all those times that I was like, I'm going to push through this discomfort. I feel horrible, but I'm going to push through. Now it's so easy. It's so easy for me to sort of be on stage or get in front of people. And, you know, that's just one example, but I think every time, whatever your discomfort is, the more you're sort of you know, you take it head on, you tackle it, you just push through the pain. It really does make you it makes you grow, and it makes you just like a more fortified person for whatever challenges may come your way. And we all know there's a lot of those in life. So the stronger you are and the more fortified you are to take those head on, the better.
Some might say that you have fled America to not deal emotionally with the potential pain that you had here. Is there any truth to that?
You know, I think this could be a common observation or thought. Sure. Because they people have asked me, like, what are you running from? You know, they think maybe it was a horrible breakup or, you know, a really bad job or some other kind of thing that happened to me. But I don't think I'm running from anything. I think I'm running to something else. if that makes sense.
It does.
I feel a little bit, this is what I feel like. You know, when you go to high school and you kind of step into high school for the first time coming from junior high and you're like, wow, this is so much bigger. The halls are so much bigger and the lockers are bigger and there's so many more rooms and I'm getting lost. And, you know, you have this feeling about high school. And then when you go to college and then you go back to high school, it feels small. You're like, this was big, you know? And then after college, if you go back to college, you feel sort of the same thing. That's how I feel about the US. It feels small. And I'm just looking for that bigger experience and that next thing that I can see and feel and touch and taste. And it was great. Like, I had a great time in high school, but I've moved on.
What is it exactly that you're searching for in another city or country? Are you looking for your next home, or are you just looking for these experiences?
Well, not really my next home, because I don't know that I want to be kind of stable anymore. You know, the world is so big, I just want to see it all. So I think I'm looking for places maybe that I would want to return to and maybe stay for an extended period of time, but not necessarily to live. And I will probably do that. I'll transition to more, instead of like week to week, it might be more like season to season, you know, maybe some seasonal living, or 2 months, 3 months there, 2 months, 3 months there, that kind of thing, just to build some stronger relationships and friendships.
With you staying in these areas for really what's a limited amount of time, how do you make friends and create bonds where you build that trust to a degree where you might want to return there? How do you deal with that? Some people obviously take to others much quicker and can build rapport and trust much quicker. However, you jumping around so much, really so quickly, I would imagine has to be fairly difficult.
Well, yeah, I have a couple thoughts about that. So I think, you know, I am a little bit of a naturally reserved person. It's easy for me to meet people and make those kind of quick connections. It's not really easy for me to let people all the way in. So on the one hand, like, nomad life works for that. It works for that for me, because I can choose who I let in. But then also, I think the people that want to stay in your life will stay in your life. You will see them again. There are these things called planes. You know, there's ways for people to meet up in person. And then there are many ways, obviously, with the internet and all the forms of connectivity we have, for people to stay in touch in the meantime. So I feel like I have made some good friends as I've been traveling, but I'm probably fewer and stronger than many, many, many. And I'm okay with that.
Sure. And do you feel as though those relationships have morphed into people that you can contact and potentially, for lack of a better term, couch surf in the future?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I've been traveling, I've been meeting people all around the world. They sort of appreciate what I'm doing or admire what I'm doing. And I hear all the time, like, you have a place to stay here. You know, you have a home here. And of course, that's very touching to me. And even, you know, people on the internet reading my blog have said, you can come and stay with me here. And you know, that's all also very, very sweet. And also, yeah, I mean, I think maybe international folks are a little more willing to open up their homes than Americans, which might surprise you, but I've been finding that a lot as I've been traveling the world.
Why do you believe that is?
It might have something to do with the fact that maybe not a lot of Americans have traveled like Europeans perhaps have, and others in the world, where sort of they grew up with this lifestyle of going on long vacations and not, you know, work to live, not live to work. They've, you know, they have a lot more vacation days. They go on their sabbaticals. They go on their gap years. Like, this is a rite of passage for a lot of Europeans, is these vacations and enjoying their life. And so as someone who does that a lot, they are more willing to open up their homes to others that are doing the same. And maybe in the US, they don't, that doesn't resonate as much. I'm not sure. But I also have met a lot of Americans who do travel frequently, and they're okay with, like, you know, house swapping and are very welcoming to lots of travelers. So I think it really depends sort of on whether that has been an experience or not.
Have you found that whether it's even a city within the US or a country outside of the US, that you were surprised culturally how welcomed and accepted you were?
No, I don't know if I'm, like, surprised about being welcomed. I may be surprised when I'm not welcomed. But I think generally a lot of people like to share what they love about their country. They like it when visitors and travelers come because they're coming to appreciate their country. And I think, you know, in a lot of places, everyone can appreciate that. The places that maybe I've been surprised about maybe not being treated very kindly is not really because of what I'm doing. I think it because, you know, there might be some lingering tensions from back to government or geopolitical things that have happened, you know, in our pasts. And maybe it's a little bit of, well, you know, the Americans did this, the Americans did that, or there's something, some generalization happening.
Sure.
And the world has a lot of history. So
would you go back to those places, Julie?
I mean, they're not in my short list, of course. So probably not anytime soon.
Okay.
But really, like, the vast majority, I could think of, like, maybe a couple cities, or, you know, that I've been to, and in of all the places that I've been to, that I have really not a lot of interest in returning to, which really puts us at like 98% positive, right, welcoming experiences.
Do you have a list of how many cities within the US you've been to and countries you've been to?
Cities, not really, but I have been to all 50 states. So okay, at least one of the cities in all 50 states.
Sure.
You'd have to ask me, which city did you go to in North Carolina? And then I would say Wilmington, you know. So it depends. But countries, yes. And I'm currently at 27 countries.
Is there any end in sight for you in the immediate future?
No.
And for everyone that's going, how does she pay for this? What is the goal for you to be able to afford the full-time nomadic life and be self-sustaining?
So yeah, money makes the world go round, right? Nothing is Absolutely. For free. And until I was working, I was obviously paying for wherever I was staying with my salary. And I actually found that traditional living in a house with all the house bills was more expensive than nomadic living through Airbnbs and hotels and staying with friends here and there. So that, you know, that math worked out, right? But now that I'm not working and I don't have a job, I have savings, and I saved very, very strictly, I would say, for several years to save what I was aiming to spend this year. And after that, yeah, I mean, I have, there's things like, you know, your 401k and all of that and other funds I can tap, but obviously I want to have income coming in. And my goals are for that is maximizing my blog. I'm also writing a memoir, and I've been coaching. So there's been a lot of interest in my lifestyle and in making a lifestyle like this possible. So really, I was getting tons of questions from people, and I'm happy to answer them and do some one-on-one mentoring. And so I've also been taking on clients in that regard. And that, of course, helps extend the runway. So At this point, yeah, I'm seeing what opportunities there are for me. I think there are lots of them. And I definitely want to, you know, sustain my lifestyle as long as possible. And there, you know, the internet has made all sorts of income-producing ways, income-producing options, presented all these options for all of us. So,
Julie, when you say coaching people, are you coaching people that want to live the nomadic life?
Yes, that is, a lot of people are either wanting to become more nomadic, more location independent. Perhaps there's even some retirees that I've started coaching. It really kind of depends. I think mostly travel related and give or take semi-nomadic, or maybe it's more of like career break, wanting to travel. I don't know that everyone's like, I want to be a nomad. But people, I think, are interested in discovering how they can be a little more nomadic and less tied to their, you know, their homes or their things or their whatever their life is now. And I can help talk through all of that because I've done it and I've lived this life now for several years.
Sounds like the nomadic travel agent is what you
mean. Sure. Or therapist.
I'm sure there's a lot of that as well. Julie, people have to be wondering, as I am, what's dating life? And is it existent?
It's hard. I think there's a couple things. I think when I started, I had, you know, been living in Phoenix for as long as I had and hadn't found the partner that I thought I would spend a lot of time with. And I say, you know, a lot of time because nothing's necessarily forever. So a lot of time is fine, or a little time is fine too. But I felt like I tapped out the Phoenix dating market and I'm like, okay, well, you know, and now I can have worldwide dating market. I can expand my dating options, but I don't know that that actually has come to fruition because many people who are stable, they don't maybe like the idea of dating a nomad, or it doesn't make sense, or they don't want to invest, or you know, they sort of come at the idea with this pessimistic attitude, like there's no way it's going to work. But that's because they're thinking the old way, that, you know, when you meet someone, well, I'm here and she's there, and that's how it is. But as a nomad, I can be anywhere. So that means if I want to be where you are, I can do that very, very easily. I think where the gap is getting to that, because I know I can be there, but this in between of, are we communicating? Are we seeing each other? Are both of us investing? And that's where the gap is. So I sort of run into that here and there. And yeah, I think maybe the person that I end up spending time with will lead a similar lifestyle. And so we'll have sort of a similar outlook and ideology around this. So we'll see. What's There's not too idea? Many of us nomads out there, so we need to build up the ranks.
Are there not?
I don't know. I mean, I don't meet a lot of them, but I know they exist. I know they exist because I see them on the internet and things, but I don't run into people. Very, very rarely do I run into other nomads as I'm traveling around. There's no one way to be a nomad, right? But I see a lot of people who fled the U.S., but then they're in Portugal, but they stay in Portugal. You know, it's like they're a digital nomad, so to speak, but they've left the US for Portugal, where they will stay for the foreseeable future, which is not the same as being nomadic and moving around fairly often.
Are there any nomadic Facebook groups or other social media groups where other people like yourself tend to go to meet others that are traveling?
Well, there are tons of Facebook groups pretty much for everything. So yes, there are nomad groups and other travel groups and things that I'm in. But as far as maybe meeting meeting other, maybe a good place to do that is co-working spaces, or maybe like some of those co-living, co-working startups that are coming out. So that is probably a good place to interact with other nomads and find them. But I don't actually do a lot of that co-working because it costs money.
So do you actually date when in other countries, or do you just try to find a companion that's fun to be around and kind of go that route?
Yeah, I mean, I mostly meet people with the expectation like this is friendship, or, you know, who knows what might happen, but I don't have really any expectations. Most of the people I meet are locals, but then, you know, there's a lifestyle difference there. So again, I'm like, I don't have any expectations here. I don't think he does either. So, you know, maybe there's a connection, or maybe this is just, you know, we hang out and have some good conversations and that's the end of that.
Right.
So, I mean, I do go on dates, but as far as the future, I'm just keeping an open mind, but.
Do you look at it as a void in your life? Of all the wonderful things that you do and you see, do you look at the lack of a companion? However you see that, do you look at that as a void in your life?
No.
Why?
I don't. I feel like my life is rich, and I love my life, and I get to do and see all of these wonderful things. And my life is already like this chocolate, delicious chocolate sundae with whipped cream and nuts and stuff. It's already delicious and a perfect sundae. But if I did have a partner, like that would be a cherry on the sundae. So it would make the sundae better. But without the cherry, I'm not really missing anything, if that makes sense. But I do, it would be nice to be in love and, you know, intimacy and companionship and all of those things. But I'm not treating it as I'm lacking anything, or that I'm missing anything, or that I'm looking for anything. I'm out here living my life and I'm having a great time, and maybe he shows up and makes my life a little richer. But if he doesn't, it's already delicious.
You do have a companion, a four-legged companion.
Yeah.
Right? Penny is her name from what I've read.
Her name is Penny. She's my dog. And, you know, I get a lot of love and companionship from her. So I'm never really alone on a Saturday night. I have my dog with me, although she's not with me in Europe because my mom is watching her in the States.
How much do you miss her?
I miss her, but I also am able to be a little more mobile without her and, you know, not spend as much money and pet fees and all of the other logistical things that are required when you do have a dog. So it's okay. It's okay. And she's having a great time with her grandma and all the other animals on the property. So.
And grandma's enjoying her company as well?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. They're best buds. So okay. she's just fine. I miss her, of course, but there are lots of stray cats and dogs to to pet here, especially in Greece, lots of cats. So
what does your future look like in terms of where your next move is after Greece? Do you have that mapped out?
Kind of. I mean, I'm really only planning maybe 1 week ahead, 2 weeks ahead. So I'm here in Naxos, and then I'll be back in Athens for a day, and then I'll be in Corfu, and then I'll be in Albania.
Wow.
That's sort of the next week. And then I don't know. I'll make my way around. I'll wiggle around Europe for a little while and see what I get into.
How long do you think you'll be in Europe total? I mean, at what point do you say, okay, it's time to go see Penny and Mom and come back to the US?
Well, I got here in the middle of July, so I think I will be going back in the middle of October. I don't have any dates. I don't have any flights. I don't do that in advance, but I think it'll be somewhere in the middle of October that I'll go back and see my family a little bit, you know, see the US for probably the last time this year, and then make my way back down to Mexico.
Okay, so you are going to go back to Mexico.
I am going to go back to Mexico, and I think Mexico is going to be my North American home base in terms of probably the airport that I'll fly out of.
Interesting. You love it that much?
I like Mexico a lot, and I'm learning Spanish, and it's way more affordable than the U.S. And, you know, Mexico City is just this huge, beautiful metropolitan place with great cuisine and lots to do and lots of cool people, other expats as well, and locals, of course. And it's a, you know, the biggest city in North America and huge airport. So a good place to get elsewhere in the world, especially Southern Hemisphere. So I'm not going to say Mexico is my home, but I'll say it'll be my next residence, or at least it's called temporary residence. So I will be getting that. And probably from there, Mexico and South America.
Wonderful. Julie, is there anything that I haven't asked that you would like to share with the viewers?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think there's people always have questions about this. So I'm an open book. If anyone does, if someone has a burning question while they're watching this video, you are more than welcome to send me a message. You can read all the archives on my blog. And actually, a lot of my blogs are from, I write them to address questions that I get. So feel free to peruse and spend time going through that. And then, of course, I'm available for coaching as well, like I mentioned. And just happy to connect with others and share my lifestyle.
Wonderful. Well, everybody needs to go check out Julie. You say it, because I'm going to mess it up.
JulieDeVivre.com. The spelling JulieDeVivre. So that's your French lesson for today.
There you go. And you do have a Facebook page, correct?
Yes, I have a Facebook page and a YouTube, which is the same username as my website. And then on Instagram, it's Julie B. Rose.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Julie. I wish you the best. Have fun, as I know you will. And we look forward to seeing you back in North America.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, answer your questions, and connect with your listeners.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Find us on YouTube and Facebook at the Intellectual People Podcast and online at theintellectualpeoplepodcast.com. Check back for exciting new episodes.